Pastor Rick and so many others who have colds and struggling with all kinds of viruses. Amen. In the name of Jesus, that we all be healed. There is a sermon note sheet in your order of service. And looking at that sheet, what is the title of our message? Actually, it's printed right in our order of service. What should I leave behind? Amen. What should I leave behind? But first, let's join our hearts in prayer. We praise your name, Lord God. We thank you, thank you, thank you for your awesome love for us. And Lord, for this privilege of this last Sunday of 2007. And Lord, we pray that the words now of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable unto you and life-changing in transforming of our hearts and evident in our lives as we go forth as your people. And we thank you ahead of time, Lord, for making it so that we be not just hearers of your word this day, but doers as well. And we thank you in your name, Lord Jesus, and all your people join together to say, amen, amen. What should I leave behind? Well, saints, if you knew your home was going to be destroyed, and you had only 1 minute, everybody say 1 minute, 1 minute to escape with your life and one or two other things with you, what would you leave behind? Can you imagine someone trying to take out their new plasma TV with them or their collection of 500 CDs and DVDs or their new computer or their new printer or new monitor? Or their shoe collection. For some of us, that would be very difficult. If we only had 35 seconds left to get out. What if you had a baby grand piano? Oh, all right. That, me too, Gloria. Oh, no. Would you try to get that baby grand out? If we tried to take some of these things with us, saints, we would most likely perish in the disaster. Sometimes for our own health and safety, we must be willing to leave some things behind. Amen. Because there is a freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. A freedom in being able to walk away from some things in our lives. Amen. Now in our New Testament text that May read for us this Lord's Day, Mary and Joseph have probably been married for about a year or two. Joseph is working as a building or a contractor. He and Mary had not gone back to Nazareth after the census. Instead, they stayed in Bethlehem. Bethlehem gave them a fresh start. Everybody say fresh start. Fresh start. As they stayed in Bethlehem without rumors of them have had sex before marriage vows, and they left behind some of the gossip floating around about them in Nazareth. No one in Bethlehem was saying, well, there's Mary, the girl who lost her mind, who said she got pregnant by God. Well, saints, life was beginning to look a little more normal for them. And then out of the clear, some wise men we see in Scripture showed up looking for their child, Jesus. And not only that, these wise men presented them with some very expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was as if someone had made a huge direct deposit into their checking account. Hallelujah. They were delighted and thrilled at this visit and the untold financial blessing. Well, this may have been just the kind of thing Joseph needed to get his business to be able to soar into high gear. He may have had plans to triple the size of the gift by expanding his business. And who knows what plans Mary may have had for them as a family, but no doubt, saints, something would have been swirling around in her head. Yet before their plans could even take root, an angel comes to Joseph and says, you need to get up, Joseph, and take your family to Egypt. Herod is searching for the child to kill him. And you have to stay in Egypt until you get a word from God that it's okay to come back home. Well, saints, Joseph and Mary have to decide right on the spot what going to leave behind. If they cannot carry it in their hands or on the donkey or perhaps in a small wagon, it has to stay. They've got a 75-mile journey to take in the dead of night, and they do not know if the soldiers are on their way to Bethlehem or not. Saints, I think they realized that the gifts they had received were the provisions that God had made for them to escape this disaster. God provides, saints. God provides. And they probably took the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and fled for their lives to Egypt. All their plans, dreams, business, friends, family, they left behind out of obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience to the word of the Lord from the angel. They found a new freedom in the things they left behind. But had they delayed in their obedience, they may have been looking at the sword of a soldier entering the body of their child. Saints, we do not always realize it, but there is a flip side to the call to follow Jesus Christ. And that flip side, saints, is to leave something behind. We cannot come and follow Jesus without leaving something behind. But what we fail to realize, saints, is that there is freedom. Say it again with me, freedom in leaving things behind. In our Old Testament text, God had been leading God's people out of bondage in Egypt. And some 40 years earlier, God had brought God's people to the land that God had promised to give them. But they refused to enter it. They said the people in it were too big and they were too strong and too powerful. And they all would die if they went into battle. Now, saints, these same people who refused to go in had seen all of the miracles that God had performed in Egypt. They had seen Moses divide the Red Sea, and they themselves had walked across on dry land. But they refused to believe that God could save them. So God told them, "You will wander in the desert for 40 years until every soldier over the age of 20 dies except for Joshua and Caleb. Then at the end of 40 years, I will bring your children into the promised land." So here we are in the text 40 years later. Joshua has replaced Moses as the new leader. A few days earlier, they had crossed the Jordan River, but the Jordan River was at flood stage. The moment the priests who were in front of the crowds, they touched the river, it stopped flowing to the south, and the waters kept piling up on the north side, and once again they were able to cross on dry ground. And they knew that this was a miracle from the Lord. Now the first city on the attack list was Jericho. Jericho was a large, walled city that seemed invincible. It probably was invincible to a regular human attack. But they were fighting with a supernatural, everybody say supernatural, supernatural power. God told the people before the attack, "This entire city is cursed. Everything in it must be destroyed. However, the gold and the silver is to go into the Lord's treasury. No one is to take anything for him or herself." Well, Joshua's instructions on taking the city were simple. March around the city with the armed men once for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, around seven times, when you hear the priest blow the trumpet, have all the people give a loud shout and then wait for the wall to collapse. Now, saints, these people had to leave a lot of doubt and fear in order to believe this would actually cause the whole walls of Jericho to just fall down. But they did what the Lord told them to do in the way God told them to do it. And the massive walls of Jericho came tumbling down and went sinking into the ground. You know that song we learned? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Yeah. Well, an army marched into the city and began doing what God had told them to do, destroying everyone and everything in sight. But, everybody say but. But then there was a guy named Achan. Achan went into Jericho intending, everybody say intending to do what God had told him to do, but he got distracted. All right, saints, he got distracted. Have you ever planned on being obedient to God, but then you became distracted by something or someone around you? Well, it just takes a minute or two, saints. And we see here Achan got distracted. Now, all Achan had to do was to walk away and leave behind the things that he found in Jericho. Achan later told Joshua, "Yes, I did sin against the Lord. During the battle, I saw a beautiful designer robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and I took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." Well, saints, what should have happened is that Achan should have thrown the robe into the fire as God had said and given the gold and silver to Joshua. When Achan first came across those items, he thought about the freedom. He thought about the popularity he would gain from this newfound wealth and his newfound clothing. Now, he took the time to research his designer outfit in order to discover that it's a Babylonian outfit. He went somewhere, saints, in secret and counted out every one of his 200 shekels of silver. He went and found him a scale to weigh the gold to discover its exact weight of 50 shekels. He was doing all of this in secret so that nobody would know. He thought all he had to do was hide all this stuff until they attacked another city in which the Lord was going to allow them to keep whatever they found. And he was thinking that of the great life he was going to have. He was thinking about leaving his old life behind and all of his poorness. And now he was going to be strutting in designer clothes and he got silver in his pocket. Oh, he was doing a lot of thinking. He had hid his sin from everyone except the Lord. Except the Lord. Except the Lord. The scripture says he acted unfaithfully, and God's anger burned against Israel. Saints, whatever and whenever we make a compromise with sin, there is a price that will be paid. We put ourselves at the mercy of others. God's people had just defeated the city of Jericho, which was the most powerful city in the whole area. Well, the next city was Ai, which was small and it wasn't very strong. So the commanding officer told Joshua, "Let's not even bother sending the whole army to fight. We can wipe them out with about 3,500 men or so." So Joshua sent them in, and they got the whipping of their lives from this little, tiny, teeny little town. All of the people then became afraid. They couldn't believe they lost such a battle to such a tiny little city. This was an amazing upset. In a football game, it would have been like Glenville High School defeating the New England Patriots of the NFL. That's what kind of battle that was. The people cried out to God, "Why did you bring us here, God? We could have stayed on the other side of the Jordan River." They had a prayer meeting all night long. Anybody ever have a prayer meeting all night long? Things were that serious in your life, you had a prayer meeting all night long. And God tells them, "Look, you lost because you disobeyed me. You did not leave some of the stuff behind that I told you. I will not be with you as long as you have it in your possession. If you want my presence, then get rid of that stuff." Well, Joshua told the people what the Lord said. He also told them whoever took the stuff is to be destroyed by fire along with whatever he took and everything else that belongs to him. Well, what do you think Achan was thinking at this point? You think he was thinking, "Ooh, there's no way they're going to find out it was me." You think he was thinking, "Ooh, I sure wish I had left that stuff behind." You think he was thinking, "God, I'm sorry. Oh, please just give me one more chance." His actions had led to the death of 36 men, and many, many more were wounded. Out of an army of 600,000 men, how could they know possibly which one had violated the command? Believe it or not, saints, they did it by a version of pulling names out of a hat. They put in the 12 tribes, and then the tribe of Judah was pulled out. They put in the clans of Judah, and the Zerahites were chosen. The families in the clans were put in, and the family of Zimri was chosen. Out of Zimri's family, they pulled out Carmi. Now it's Carmi and his sons, one of his sons, whom is Achan. Well, what do you think Achan is thinking now? Woo! Finally! They chose out of Carmi's sons, and Achan's name is chosen. Joshua says, "Son, give glory to the God of Israel and give him praise. Tell me the truth about what you have done and tell it all." It is at this point, saints, Achan says in Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder the beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." Achan tries to describe the stuff in such terms as to make it seem impossible to have left it behind. But you know, saints, there were other soldiers who saw the same stuff, just as beautiful, just as enticing, just as tempting, but they had managed to leave it and to walk away, leaving it behind. How many here today know that the devil always wants to make us think that everybody else is giving in to temptation? Everybody else is doing it, but that's not true, saints. Of all of the soldiers in the Battle of Jericho, all but one of them left the things behind. Saints, God will not allow a temptation to come our way without giving us a way of escape, without giving us a way to walk out and to leave it behind. We fall because we choose to fall. Everybody say choose. We choose to fall. Well, Joshua wanted to confirm Achan's story, so he sent and he had the men go to Achan's tent. They lifted up the tent and they found everything just as Achan had said. They brought the stuff to Joshua and spread it all out. And instead of the freedom and prestige that he was looking to find, Achan found a death sentence and the destruction of all that he had and loved. If only he had have just left that stuff behind. Saints, this is our final Sunday in the year 2007. For some of us, it has been a great year. We find ourselves happier this time than we were even last year. There were graduations, there were the birth of children, there were better jobs, new homes, and newfound love for some of us. But none of us made it through the year unscathed by difficult circumstances. For some of us, it has been a year of sorrow and of pain. We have lost people who were very, very dear to us. Some of us saw our families begin to even fall apart. Some of us found ourselves being sent to jail, while others found ourselves coming out. Some of us found ourselves trapped by sin, paying a cost far greater than we ever imagined that we would pay. Some of us ran into situations in which we were greatly hurt by someone, and found it nearly impossible to forgive. Some of us thought we could do something just once and walk away from it, only to be enslaved and still will not admit our addiction. Some of us this year lost our jobs. Some of us right now are still unemployed. Some of us developed attitudes that have hurt and still are hurting others. Some of us do not like the person that we have allowed ourselves to become during 2007. Well, Saints, Jesus looks at all of us with our broken dreams and our shattered lives, and Jesus comes to each of us and says, "Oh, I love you." But in order to come to Jesus, you have to leave all that other stuff behind. Why do you need to come to Jesus? Well, Saints, you can't do this thing called life. You can't do this thing called death by yourself. Hallelujah. Sure, you can make plans. We all can make plans. But you can't make them happen. Amen. We can make all the plans we want, but we can't make them happen. Positive thinking does not stop the calamities and tragedies that come our way. You're going to need an anchor when hard times hit, Saints. You know, you can say, well, I can die on my own. You may can die on your own, but you can't control your eternal destiny by yourself unless you are determined to be cast into hell. And Jesus came in order for us to have life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is life while we are alive, Saints, and it's life when we die. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And Jesus is calling us into a freedom. But most of us, we keep insisting on being a slave to something else. We keep insisting. Saints, 2007 is coming to a close. We need to ask ourselves, what do we need to leave behind? In 2007, what do we need to leave behind with it to be able to fully know Jesus Christ, to be able to fully rise and reach our potential in Christ? Is there a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Is there a lover? Is there a group of friends that we need to leave behind? Is there a spirit of laziness that we have at home or at work that we need to leave behind? Is there an attitude problem that we need to leave behind in 2007? Is there a critical spirit? Is there an anger? Is there a problem with jealousy? Is there a problem we need to leave behind in 2007? Is there a spirit of selfishness, a spirit of greed, a spirit of materialism that we need to leave behind? Are we traveling the road to an addiction that we need to leave behind in this 2007? We may think these things are helping us in life, but they really are leading to our downfall. Saints, if God sent an angel to you this very night and said, "Get up, the thing that is seeking to kill you is on the way. Run for your spiritual life." What is that thing for you, my friend, that the angel would be talking about? You see, Joseph did not wait and put off the situation. Joseph jumped up, and he and Mary fled to Egypt. So I say to us today, Saints, don't put it off any longer. Leave it in 2007. End the affair. End the addiction. End the bad attitude problem, in the relationship, in the spirit of not caring, in the abuse. Don't be like Achan, taking yourself and talking to yourself into why you should have that thing, why you should have that person, why you're entitled to this or to that. Everybody is not doing wrong, Saints. Lots of people are saying no to temptation. They're saying no to destruction. So be willing to wait. Be willing to allow God to give you whatever God desires to give you in the way God wants to give it to you. You see, no matter how clever you may think you are, You cannot hide your actions from God. None of us can hide from God. God will eventually expose us, saints, if we are not willing to change. Freedom is not found in getting things or people for yourself. Freedom is found in saying, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord Jesus, to your call upon my life. Saints, each of us can go into 2008 with a clean conscience. Hallelujah. We can go into 2008 with the right attitude. Hallelujah. We can go in with the spirit of saying, yes, yes, Lord, to your will for my life. Hallelujah. Each of us can go in being better, a better mother, a better father, a better son, a better daughter. You can be a better student. You can be a better worker. You can be a better member of our church. Hallelujah. You can be a better parent, a better wife, a better husband, a better friend. Go into 2008 knowing that the plans that God has for your life are far richer, far greater than anything you possibly could come up for yourself. Hallelujah. You see, saints, God planned to take care of Mary and Joseph and Jesus almost 2 years before they even needed to leave things behind and go to Egypt. The wise men arrived at just the right time. Hallelujah. How many know God will show up at just the right time? May not come when you want it, but God, it comes right on time. The wise men arrived just in time. You see, God had made provisions for them, and God makes provisions for you and for me to be successful in whatever God is sending us to do and to be. It might seem scary at first, hallelujah, but we must be willing to leave it behind and see how the Lord will take care of each of us. Hallelujah. There is a freedom, saints, to be found in leaving things behind. For the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Oh, great God, we say thank you. And we say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way for our lives. We say yes, Lord Jesus, as you have said, come and follow me. And that we have to lay down and then pick up our cross and follow you. That we might experience true life, true freedom. For those that you set free are free indeed. And we thank you for that today, for the privilege of your love, for the privilege of being your children. And so we pray, if there's someone here today, Lord Jesus, that does not know you as Savior, King, and friend, that they will not leave here without you, without making you Lord and Savior of their lives.